Hey, this is the Bachelor Masters. Caitlin, I don't know about you, but I think that the second half of that episode was the most amazing in Bachelorette history.
Boo. That was not Caitlin talking.
Yeah, that was obviously easier. I am having flashbacks to breakups I have had in my past.
Yes. See, that's what's wrong, Craig. Craig laughs because all his breakups have been hilarious for him. But but every time one of these things happens, it's no matter who they are, no matter how beautiful or different the situation is, it's the same. Same thing with what I thought was very similar, but also what I think is one of the best episodes too, was the front fence jump. And it was so traumatic.
For
people
following.
Watching.
Oh, Colton's fence jump. You know, it was worth the hype. You know how they always hype up that one moment? That one really actually did live up to the hype. I did not have as much, identification with Colton's moment, because I have never jumped a fence because I'm so upset about love, you know? Right. But some of the conversations that Katie and Greg were having, I was like, oh, I know exactly how this goes.
Yeah. Oh. That's what made it so great. It's like we all could relate, but also it was fun watching Greg completely melt down to the point where he was insulting Katie. Now, I'm not saying it was great that he was insulting Katie, but it was just fun to watch somebody go through all the stages of breaking up and insulting the other person.
Oh, see, that's where we differ, is that I don't think he was going through those stages.
The first rule of a breakup, and I've said this multiple times on the podcast, it's like when you quit a job. Quit the job and leave. Same thing with a breakup. You break up and you leave.
Or you hang out until your flight.
Yeah, unless you're Caitlin, and then he has a flight to catch.
Yeah, and I mean, I mentioned to you, right, with the flight situation, that I actually, as we were hanging out after we'd broken up, but I didn't know what else to talk about, that I did tell him what was going on The Bachelor that week.
Yeah.
to fill time, essentially. I actually made him watch some videos of things that had happened. I was like, here's
a
clip.
That's because you both, I don't know this ex-boyfriend of yours, but you guys were both acting as adults. See, Greg is not an adult. He hasn't gone through that experience where you learn that once you break up, you let it go.
Wait. No, I want to talk about this, but we told ourselves that we would get all the blah out of the way.
Yeah.
Because we are not just three friends gabbing here. We owe the two other men a very short discussion on their hometowns.
Yeah,
so-called hometowns.
Discuss.
We don't owe them anything.
Well, there was
Blake.
Blake, I have nothing to say about. Absolutely nothing. I didn't even write his name down.
A handful of comments about Blake. There's not that much there. Ooh, but there's some things you could say about the two of them.
Blake was wearing those tiny little socks that are also, I'm not normally this person or this female girl, woman, but they're emasculating because he doesn't want to have a sock underneath his shoe look. Ew, did you see those little socks? And so was Katie, but she was wearing like bigger versions of those socks. Blake was wearing the kind that they give you at a shoe store because they don't want you to have your foot all the way in it. Ew.
They call them peds in the shoe store, you know, like the little pantyhose things.
Mm-hmm.
Blake's were, they make better versions of the no-show sock, is all I'm saying. They make ones that you
looks like
can't
he stole
see
them.
In the shoe.
Yeah.
Well, since we're talking about fashion, Katie's outfits were horrendous this episode.
Oh, don't you think?
Very pedestrian.
Outfits for the Blake evening portion of the date was like Lorelai Gilmore outfit. Like she had a flowery dress on that was, it wasn't low cut, but it was V-neck, and then like a little tiny cardigan was so Lorelai.
Cardigan. She wore a similar outfit for Greg's family, but the cardigan was full sized. Mm-hmm. And it was a different floral dress because it had like a size.
For Justin, she was wearing like a sweater, right? Like a white sweater.
Yeah, like
it's just totally awful
sort of situation. I mean, none of them were great outfits, but you know who had a great outfit in these early portions? That's Blake's mom, really coming through with the fashion for this episode. She looked amazing. Did either of you notice Blake's mom's outfit?
What was she wearing? No.
Okay.
What she's wearing.
It's like a white button-down shirt that's tucked in to black leather high-waisted pants have like a little tie belt on it of, you know, the same black leather material. And then she's wearing wedge espadrilles as the shoes, and her hair is like up in kind of a sloppy ponytail. I mean, she looked amazing.
No.
She looks just like Blake. If that
give her
is
a bad
amazing.
Beard.
All right, she looks facially like Blake, but she has better fashion than her son by far.
My problem with the mom is that she's one of these moms that is a super fan of The Bachelor, so she was talking only in Bachelor speak. Thanks for agreeing with me, EZR.
Well, that's... you can tell she's a fan because she's the age she is. She probably lives in the right area of Canada. The equivalent.
The right
okay,
area
boomer.
Is the suburbs of Toronto, essentially. He's from Hamilton.
Yeah, there's definitely that, like, you know, there's no difference between most of Canada and most of America in terms of the people and their, like, likes and values and history. So, yeah, the same.
What are you trying to say, EZR?
Nothing. Just what I said.
Okay.
Well, speaking of Canada, I did like that it appeared that they have saved the Canadian date props from Serena P's date and just recycled them for Blake's. Yeah. Like, we know we're going to have a Canadian again. Put this in the storage bin to break out later.
I tuned out from all this mentally, because it's like, if you're in America, you get to zero in on your state, on your city, Baltimore, New Jersey. You know, you get to get local flavor.
Yeah,
if you're from Canada, you get Canada.
That's on us as Americans not knowing the provinces.
No,
and not understanding the differences. Yes, because yes.
I want to know something about Toronto. I want to know something about Ontario.
He could have done it. But
they didn't. They did literally the same exact stuff with, like, drink maple syrup, play hockey together. You always got to play hockey with a Canadian. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. That's how it is. The other thing I thought was interesting about this is when they meet his family and Blake and his sister are talking, and his sister says, "So this is the one now?" Which implies that he has said this is the one multiple times to his family.
Yeah. Well, the sister grills him about that, and they kind of leave it. They don't really follow up on that, unfortunately.
No, they sort of... Well, she says a thing about how he had basically decided he was in love with Claire before the season with Claire had even begun. She dropped that in there, which was interesting.
Yeah.
So...
Do you have a clip or anything, EZR or Blake?
No, and who cares? No.
You're the one who wanted to talk about him.
I said, let's get them out of the way.
Let's talk about Blake and Justin before we talk about Greg.
I just have one thing to say about Justin.
There's a chance that Blake might win this thing now. So,
well, in a very half-hearted way.
It's like when the East German swimmer would get disqualified for doping. And then the American silver medalist would default to winning the gold medal. That's what it's like with Blake here if he wins.
Okay, Olympics aside.
Justin. Wow, that hit on no cylinders.
Well, honestly, I just don't know enough about to say yes, exactly. I don't like. I agree that you.
I tried to bring up the Olympics, so kill me. I mean, the Olympics are on right now, right?
I got your timely athletics reference.
If it was the Winter Olympics, we'd do a whole ice skating bit.
We would, but I'm just saying these games are cursed in every way possible. Yes. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Justin, real quick, I like that he quote brought two friends, one of which required to be white, to go along with his farce and standard script. Good for his parents, honestly, for not participating. It seems like they understand that this is like not real. So like, why pretend that it's a possible daughter-in-law? I stand by any parents who boycott because it makes them look bad on TV in a way, or it has in the past. So a little bit of short Bachelor history, not worth the drop.
Play the drop.
No, because it's I want to get on to the real thing. Melissa, who Jason didn't picked and then unpicked. Her parents refused as well, and she was very upset by it. And I kind of was like, everyone at the time was like, what horrible parents. But now I'm like, no, yes, it's good for them. That's all I got to say about
Justin. Well, that's not the whole story, because when Justin had his parents on FaceTime and he was talking to them, the mom says, family is everything. It's so important to know the family. By the way, we're not coming. mean, they admitted so much and then they still didn't come.
I think I'm with Easier that I totally respect his parents for not doing this, because they were very much like, listen, we are not going to New Mexico and quarantining at this like half-ass hotel, because you're not going to win this show. And we all know that. So
or you're doing something for your career and we get that, but like, don't rope us into like some fake engagement story.
They did not want to be a part of this now.
Cons. Yeah. Good for them.
And I also kind of laugh. The conversation seems so much like they didn't want to be having that call on camera either, right?
Yeah.
I could tell that they were very like, I guess we'll do this, you know? And he seemed, you know, a little upset or annoyed, which I get, because if I were in his shoes, I'd be like, you know, you want your parents to come on because it makes you look better, you know?
Yeah.
But it makes sense for them. I mean, I don't know if I would do it if I were Justin's parents either, right? Like, I did also like, so he's from Baltimore, and you know I live close to there. Well, close-ish. Yes. Close enough.
Yes.
That's where I drove to get my COVID vaccines. It's Baltimore.
Right.
And, you know, they hit all the major points of Baltimore in this state. It's obviously not Baltimore, but that sign is a real sign, and they got the crabs in, and really that is the biggest thing. Although probably those crabs are terrible because they'd been sitting in the sun for like hours or something, you know. And we do have to mention how excited Justin got over the fact that Katie also prefers blue cheese to ranch dressing. He was so pumped.
So agree. Very much agree.
Oh, I'm on his side too. That's a strong, like, not that I wouldn't date somebody who prefers ranch, but it is obviously inferior.
Here's why I wouldn't date someone who prefers ranch, because they will always forget to sub out because they don't care. And I hate getting packets of ranch. I want them to be like very conscious about my blue cheese needs. Do you know what I mean?
Craig, do you like ranch? Is that why you're silent?
No. I'm just, I'm still furious about that we had to do this in order.
Oh, listen, furious. Okay.
Basically, you have covered all the points here.
That's it. I even have some.
Wait, Caitlin, why do you sound like you're recording in a basement?
Oh, see, here's what's happening is I am again dog sitting and I get my headphones. So
are you in a really big room?
You know what? It is a big room.
Airy, echoey.
Yeah, like you're saying, it sounds like I'm recording in a basement, but the fact is I usually record in a basement, and this time I'm not.
Okay. All right, there you go. Some insider Bachelor Masters knowledge.
Just cut that out.
Why cut that out?
Because it's not important or relevant, and it's our like.
Listeners enjoy the fact that we break the fourth wall on this podcast. Trust me.
Okay.
I'm going to ask for explicit feedback about whether or not our listeners enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm going to send out a doodle poll. Look for it on Twitter.
Some whatever Greg stuff to kind of get out of the way before, because there were these little tiny things that happened that set up the big, big, big part of the episode. But I still have, but they are kind of, you know, ends, like pieces that are part of the fabric here. My biggest question when I heard the family, and more importantly, saw the family, was this guy adopted from like like models, like two 16-year-old models who were in love and just couldn't keep him?
Yeah, they are, doesn't really look like his family.
They are all so into him too.
Yeah.
So I cut this, the whole family like worships and adores him. And it reminds me of there's two things. They like think he's so beautiful and he can do no wrong, but he also kind of has like the golden goose laying egg thing going on. Like there's some kids now, right, who are like Instagram stars, kids who are Instagram stars, TikTok stars, and they're the money makers of the family, and the family can only like tread lightly around them. And this is not quite that. They like totally are in love with him, but I feel like there's this air of like just worship too. So I got Greg's mom's reactions, because they all had these fanatical hero worship adoree things to say. But Greg's mom was the one who really stood out to me.
First, let me ask you, what is special about him?
Okay. So like, aren't you supposed to sit down with the woman and say, how'd you guys hit it off? Or
yeah, where'd you meet?
Where's your relationship? And all she wants to hear is how great he is, which is like,
confidence about him, but he's humble. He loves his family. You guys are literally his entire world.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And he's ours.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And know that I do care about Greg. And just know he's here. He's here to stay.
Well, that's exciting. And I always say,
little did she know,
Greg is one lucky gal.
Like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
The person who gets Greg is so, like, no one is good enough. Like, the other ones, yeah, they're
that's
all married
the
off.
Flag of a mom come, and I have to say, if I meet somebody's parents and they tell me explicitly whoever gets to date their son is like the luckiest woman on earth, it's like, oh, this is a problem.
Right, but wouldn't it be even weirder if you know she hadn't done it for any of her other kids?
Yes, he's clearly the favorite child. Is he the youngest one?
No, I think he's not. I think one of
he's
the girls
in the middle. Younger.
Yeah,
that's but, even weirder.
But I mean, like,
youngest would make more sense to me
when he was
like
adopted,
baby,
yeah, like
the child. Yeah,
I don't believe he's part of that, like biologically part of that family.
I mean, maybe the father, since we didn't get to see him, maybe the father is literally a model.
We saw a picture of the dad. He looked just like the other brother.
All right. Yeah, that is confusing.
But irregardless, we don't have to dwell on that, because you never know. You know, freaks come out of everywhere. Like, you
irregardless.
Don't have to, like... Yes. Okay, go ahead and go into your Greg's regular stuff now, because I just had to make sure that we set the scene for the fact that he is, I mean, I think this, the way he's been treated by his parents, set up a lot of who he is.
Or by his no question.
I have one quick thing to also do in Greg lead up.
Greg lead up.
His hometown date situation is how I knew he was a liar immediately. I guess we've all known, right? Because the last few weeks we've all been on the tip of like, something's up with Greg. he's not quite right, you know. Right.
Week but, one, I said he was a liar.
Yes, this guy is a liar, but he is from Edison, New Jersey. Edison, New Jersey is not a beach town. I'm just going to say that. And he was like, boardwalk, beach town. It's like, it's close to a beach town that you could go to, but that's a lie. You're lying, Greg. And I, it bothered me.
What if you're from, you know, podunk nowhere town and the closest thing to you is like the Indy 500, you know, like for the masses at home.
I get why you play up a potentially interesting thing, but like the town I am from in New York is a suburb of New York City. It's not super exciting on its own, right? But I would be playing up the weird small things about it if I was on a place where you're talking about your hometown, you know? Not the, like, I wouldn't be like, listen, I'm from New York City. Let's just discuss that. Because it's like, well, I'm not really, really, you know? Like, I'm from 45 minutes north of New York City. Like, that's, it's not exactly the same thing. So immediately my alarm bells were ringing because I know about this town. And I was like, there's no boardwalk in Edison, New Jersey. There's no surfing in Edison, New Jersey. There is pork roll. I'll give him that. That's fine. Also, the water... All right, Italian ice. I don't know if this is just the... So I'm not from Jersey. I'm from near Jersey, obviously. I don't know if the part of Jersey that he's specifically from, they call it Italian ice, but most parts of Jersey that I'm familiar with, they call it water ice. So I'm like, this guy's a fraud.
Water ice, huh?
Water ice.
Oh, like water ice. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Instead to of distinguish... Italian ice is what you really call important. It when you're like not from when you're selling it in an area that is not like New Jersey or Philadelphia, basically.
If water, if you have water ice, what do you call regular ice?
Listen, I don't know what to tell you. This is just the thing that I'm familiar with from
being water ice
region. And I know this is not a big deal ultimately in the wider world of the Greg issues that were exposed in this episode. But I wanted to say, I was like, before we even met his family, before anything else happened, this hometown date made me be like, this guy is a total phony. He's a liar. I hate him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been to Italy and they call it Italian ice there.
Well,
I mean, you think they just call it ice?
Counterfeit Italians.
I think you just call it ice.
Hey, Craig, tell Freedom us ice. Why it's your favorite episode and you were not jolted back into some horrible breakup where you couldn't help the things falling.
Because as a man, as a cishet man, I have been in Greg's shoes. I have done that breakup where you feel like you have to say something and you're not going to stop until you get the validation that you're looking for, but it's not coming. So you keep pressing and pressing and pressing. And then finally you say things that are mean and insulting, which he did. And then there's no going back. So you learn from that and you learn, or I learned, and I'm hoping other people learn. You learn, I learned. See, let me tangent for a second. I haven't brought this up in a long time, EZR, but you know my gripe about people saying you when they mean I?
I actually do that all the time because I don't like saying I. Right. I say we or it or...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I just did it. I just said you, but you is the wrong... I'm not you. It's not you. It's me.
Uh-huh. Like one does this.
Yes, like one does.
Yeah, as one would.
as one would, yes. Thank you. I just want to get that out of the way.
Wait, what? Finish that thought. Yes? What about it?
Yeah, so I would hope that one would learn that that's not in a productive way to break up with somebody because there's so many things wrong with it. And so for me, it was so much fun to watch somebody else go through it. And it wasn't a scripted show. I mean, there's lots of Twitter banter that, you know, speculating that he's an actor and this is all an act or whatever. But it was so much fun to watch him have to go through that And that, okay. So to your point, it does remind me of past breakups.
Right.
Breakup.
Where you were in the driver's seat.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of that. But
instigator breakup.
But it's so nice to see somebody else go through it.
I understand that. I know you're not being cruel. I know you are saying it's good to have like a bird's eye view on things like that.
Yeah, but I also think I'm being cruel to some extent.
Well, you're like, good
perspective.
No one learns.
It's nice to
feel
watch.
Like it's entertaining. Right?
It's nice to watch somebody else go through things worse than you had it. Because I even had the most rosy life. I've done things that I regret and been through some effed up situations, just like anyone. And it's nice to know that there's people that do worse than I did.
Okay.
Craig, have you ever turned on a complete dime because of one conversation and been like, we're breaking up now?
Well, I've been thinking about that. Kind of. I can think of one example, one specific example, and I really doubt she's listening to this podcast. But I was living in San Francisco, and I was dating somebody in San Francisco, and we were, you know, we weren't living together, but we were pretty. Oh God!
I'm listening.
I was waiting for that.
This doesn't deserve the song.
Okay.
This doesn't deserve the song. But we, you know, we were pretty together and whatnot. You know, we'd been dating for a little while. But it was Halloween, and she emailed me at work, and she was like, "Okay, we got to be at this party by like 6. So make sure to get off work and then go home and then get over to my place by 5 so we can be there by 6. And I was like, "What? Why do we have to be at this party at 6? What's that about?" She was like, "Oh, we just have to be there at 6." I'm like, "No, we don't. It's a party. We can be there whenever the fuck we want." And I turned on a dime and I was like, "That's it." I was like, "This isn't working out." And I broke up with her.
Oh my God. So you turned to her and you're like, "Katie, listen, this wasn't you just now when you emailed me that we had to be at the party at 6 o'clock.
Right.
It wasn't you anymore. It wasn't
actually
you."
I think the difference is that it was kind of her. It's just that particular moment I was like, "I can't take this anymore." So that was it.
My God.
Well, I have my
but from her
theory,
view,
obviously. But go ahead. Yeah.
From her view, I did turn on a dime, I think.
Right, but that's what you say always happens to you, Craig, that women supposedly turn on a dime on you.
Yeah, well, they snap their fingers and they decide they don't want to be with you anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think that happens to me all the time, but it has happened, yeah.
Okay. Caitlin, what is your I understand your take, Craig. I actually really do, but I think I have more nefarious take.
Okay. Caitlin. But you want to know Caitlin first.
I want to know Caitlin's take.
So you want to know what I think, what was going on with Greg's reasoning behind his breakup with Katie?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, can I interrupt real quick? I'm sorry, Caitlin. I just want to express real quick. I think in some regards, Greg was right. Mm-hmm. So like, don't think I'm like, totally like Greg completely lost it and is a total lunatic. I think he had some valid points. He kept piling on to the point where he was insulting her, and that's not cool. That like he should that's no one should ever do that. Mm-hmm. And he did it, and it was fun to watch.
I kind of agree with some parts of what you're saying, with like a sliver of that last.
Okay. Sentence. Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Caitlin.
Yeah, I also agree with a sliver of. He had a point in terms of him saying that, you know, when he told her, when they were like sitting together after the family conversations at the end of that meeting the family portion, and he says he's in love with her, and she just kind of like stares for a long time, and he keeps talking, and then she's like, "I love looking at you." That is a weird moment. So I agree with him there that is like, "Oh, I tried to have a conversation with you about like our feelings and you just like did not respond." And it was like, that's a valid point. But ultimately I feel like this whole thing was much more nefarious in that I think he was looking for a reason to break up with Katie for the past like couple of weeks, probably, but a reason that he could break up with her and look like he was the good guy in it. Right.
Wow,
he wanted to have a way of getting out of this show that made him look like he was not the problem. And him saying, like, Katie never gave him the validation, she ignored him saying he loved her, that's a good narrative for coming out looking like you're not the bad person. I don't think he fully carried it off just because of the, you know, the ending conversation where he went to her hotel room, basically was like, it's over because of one conversation that didn't go well, you know? But I think he's planning this.
Well, at the beginning of the season, I said two things. I said, Greg knows how good looking he is, and is, quote, not confident, even though I thought he was, and is playing it off to build a good story and set up an out. And somewhere along the line, like a few weeks back, I said he never liked her. And you guys were like, no, he likes her. I'm like, no, he doesn't like her. I know when someone doesn't like somebody. Right. And I think finally, I'm glad everyone came around to seeing that, yes, he never liked her. Because you don't go from one conversation of nothing. You know, you don't go there when you get mad that someone doesn't reciprocate your vulnerability, right? That is, like, not true.
I don't know about that.
Who you are.
Okay, hold on.
If he says he's in love with her, he is absolutely in love with her, I don't see how you have a single moment that makes you say, like, well, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I'm just done.
Yeah, I disagree with that. So there's two things here. I disagree that you can turn on a dime based on what we saw presented to us. And
no, I'm saying you can't turn on a dime. You don't.
I'm saying that you can.
You can. Okay.
Yes. And then B, I'm not dismissing. I mean, it's not really my place to dismiss, but I'm not dismissing the claim that he didn't like her and was looking for a way out. But that is a very elaborate scheme that he had to cook up and execute perfectly.
Yes. So let me set out my thing, Craig. Agree or disagree at the end of this.
Okay. What about Caitlin?
Well, Caitlin agrees with what I've been saying. That's why I'm asking you.
Okay, got it.
I mean, she just said she agreed finally after, like, you know, like I knew Greg was, like, not a good guy from the beginning, right? Like, I have said, I'm like, this guy is fishy. He's pretending, but he's not a good pretend. He's not a good actor.
But you also thought he was, like, the cutest guy on earth.
Of course, I still do.
Except for Leo.
Those are mutually exclusive. Those are absolutely mutually exclusive. And that was my problem, is that he's so good looking, he gets away with everything. And that's where the family part comes in.
It's not that good looking. Jeez.
To me, he is.
All
right. And I don't really like I said since the beginning, like, it sucks that he's a 10, and I think him being a 10 has led him to this horrible person that he is.
10?
Yes, Craig, a 10. Has led him to be this horrible.
I'm letting this
person.
Go. I don't want to get into it with you again.
I can't believe, like, I feel like I've been saying this since the beginning, and, like, I don't know where you know, this is the same exact argument I've always had. Okay. The narrative here, right, is that she didn't tell him she was in love with him and he felt uncomfortable and that was enough for him. And that, you know, and then there's the added narrative on top of that, on top of the, like, she didn't reciprocate my love when I was vulnerable, that, this is all for TV. And I don't care about the rose and I don't care about being your number one. I care about real feelings. Like, that's what he basically said. Right. But that doesn't work, right, in woke world now. Even if it wasn't woke world, we would be – that's fishy. That's, like, super not okay to turn on a dime like that, even if he did. Let's say he did. It's not okay to. Would you agree with that, Craig? I'm just checking along the way. You don't have to agree yet.
Okay. I think you can turn. I think you can turn, especially when the stakes are so high.
Well, okay, but you do see that everyone, that narrative that at least the show and Greg wanted to bring us was not okay with the world watching it. That he turned on a dime. That wasn't okay to do.
I'm getting confused. Play the clip.
Okay, I will.
A Who cares about the rose or the number one or the number two or who's getting sent home this week? If it's not real, it's not real. I just wanted something real.
You want it's real?
I don't know at this point because you're still sitting in front of me saying you're my number one here.
So, Craig.
Yeah.
I
love that he's like straight up yelling at her.
Well, yeah, he's acting, right? I mean, I really do think he was. I think it was like he is trying to make the case that, well, you know, you didn't reciprocate my love, number one. And number two, this is all for this can't be all for TV. You're not giving me the real you. Therefore, I'm out. And right. that looked bad for a lot of people on Twitter. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's all. You don't have to. I agree that people may. I can. If you tell me people turn on a dime, people turn on a dime. But I'm not. I'm saying that this wasn't that.
We got a lot to unpack here.
Okay. Well, let me just finish this and then unpack all you want. Okay. So I feel like he cultivated and harbored a dislike for her the whole time. And yes, he set up this escape. And that's what I was saying every week when he was like, I'm so unconfident, because it was always a escape hatch to be like, look, I'm so unconfident and I'm comfortable with you. But he's such like a spoiled brat that he had to be vindictive when he leaves instead of just leaving it at that. I think I can
get on board with that.
Okay. I think he's not very smart, but I think he's smart enough to know that she's a rule follower with producers, and she would have run away with him 9 episodes ago, but he needed to ask for something she wasn't willing to give.
Right.
So
she wasn't going to put him before the TV show.
Right. It was smart in that way. But if he was smarter, he would have gone to the end and ended it right after, because that would make him look good, right? She keeps conceding when he keeps accusing. And, you know, she can't win in that situation. So, okay.
Right, because he keeps yelling at her, and she keeps saying, yeah, no, I don't know what's going on here.
Like, yeah.
Tell me what's wrong.
Uh-huh. Okay, I have a, like, okay, so I was going to tell this story, but I'm going to not tell it because I don't think it's as relevant anymore as I thought it would be.
Can we unpack now?
No, I got one more thing to say. Well, okay, go ahead, okay. Unpack so far.
Well, I want to bring Caitlin back in here.
Yeah.
So to this theory that he said this was all planned. It just seems so elaborate that there's no way he could have executed it. No, like there's no, like his plan would have had to have been, I'm going to have her meet my family. I'm going to gush about how much I love her. And then I'm going to tell her I love her. And then when she doesn't tell me back, because I know she follows the show's rules, I'm going to explode on her and spend the next,
I mean,
the rest of the night yelling at her and telling her that she's an idiot.
He found a hole in the fabric and he ripped it open. He found anything, because that was it. Then after that, he talked about the fantasy suites himself. He was like, he could not have gone through with that. It felt like, okay, so here's my other part of this theory is that, like I said, I don't think he's a smart guy. I think he's trying to be a conniving guy. So can you imagine? And yes, you can, Craig, having a con on TV. I think it takes a really devious mind, but you can think you're going to go on and do it well and quickly be in over your head. So I think that he was, you know, acting out of like self-preservation at that point. He makes the remarks of a scared, cornered person. But at the same time, he is him, and he's used to just getting everything handed to him. I mean, because of his looks.
So this is different. So what you're saying here is different than he had a plan that he to get out of this and executed it. What you're saying now is that he was cornered and lashed out.
I think it's both.
That's more of a spur of the moment thing.
Well, I think it can be both. He is scared of winning this thing, Jed style, right? He's like, oh my God, this is the end. Three guys left, because I think when Michael A left, he was like, oh my God, you know, he was in a crowd until you're not. And then he's like,
help clear this up here.
Okay.
So I don't think that he had scripted every single moment. I don't think he was thinking.
Not scripted. I don't.
Yeah. What you were saying, Craig, about his plan hinged on Katie not saying she loved whatever. I don't think that's what it was like. I think it was like he became aware that he was likely to win. Men were going home. He didn't actually want to win because he wants to either go on to be the Bachelor or have some other, you know, fame thing that requires him to not be dating Katie. So he was looking for a way to exit, but exit in a way that makes him look great. Like, he basically wanted to come out the way that Michael A. came out looking out, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's not going to happen in his situation because where Michael had the option of saying, you know, like, he has a kid at home, which is always a good reason to leave.
Right.
And will always make you come off looking amazing, right? To be like, I have other commitments that I have to honor that are, you know, just as important or more important than this. Greg seized on this moment of like, Katie refuses to say she loves him. That makes him upset in the moment. And you can see that he's upset, right? Like, she even asks him, this was the part when I started flashing back to previous relationships, as when she's like, what's wrong? And he's like, absolutely nothing. I'm totally fine.
Oh, yeah. That was something else.
If he was trying to get
acting,
He was trying to get out of this, why would he be upset? Now, you think he was acting easier, but Caitlin, you're saying that he was actually upset. Why would he be upset if this was all trying to get out of it?
I think he didn't expect this conversation to happen the way it did. That he was sort of, you know, he wanted his ego massaged there and he didn't get it. And then he realized after the like whispered in the dark conversation they had that he was like, you know what? I could just leave now because she didn't say she loved me and she's like refusing to say it essentially. And that could be the way that I can leave and get out of here. Right. Mm. Like, I think he also could have gone the route of staying and proposing and then they just break up in like 3 months or something, you know.
But
I think he didn't actually want to marry her. He wants the exposure, he wanted to look good, and he decided this would be a way to leave and look good, but he just executed it very sloppily.
Right.
Well, and here's where I agree with you, Craig, is that I think he tried to do this con, this long con, and then he let his actual self take over and had to really hammer her instead of just leaving. Like, he had to let her have it because he was sick of, you know, he's spoiled or whatever.
Yeah.
And he has just the like vindictiveness in him of like, you made me pretend to like you because I wanted to be famous. You know, that's what I felt was coming out. So
here's
my big,
You're starting to make me come around to your theories here, you two.
Okay, thank you. Good. So here's my big picture issue with what happened, because I rarely follow along on Twitter, but I was following along with your conversations here or there, and I have my issues with social media consensuses, right? I think the three of us do. And what bothered me about the social media consensus is that this was plain old gaslighting. Now, we've talked about this term before. This term has been a mainstay in feminist circles for decades, but it recently hit the popular lexicon. And it was so impactful because men really are horrible, right? They really do act that way all the time. And they always try to make you think, they always try to make you think that your reality isn't your material reality isn't real in some way or the other, or your figurative reality isn't real, whatever. But I think in this case, because I saw a lot of people throwing this term out, the term loses its meaning because it wasn't used correctly. I feel like this is fear. This is on Greg's part. This is his fear. This is lashing out. This is finding a desperate out. This is conniving.
Are we going to hear a clip?
I mean, I can show you his bad acting that kind of felt, you know, not good. Like it felt like it was half not real, but also half like a cornered, stuck pig.
I just don't think you get it, Katie. I don't think you get where I'm at in
no,
this.
I do.
I really don't think so. I really don't think so because I'm not a number here.
I just thought
you were taking it as.
Okay.
Isn't that sort of the gaslighting light, L-I-T-E, gaslighting light? Isn't that the gaslighting light version of the definition where you're telling the woman that she's wrong? That's essentially gaslighting at its core.
Well, see, okay,
not exactly.
Changed. The term has shifted. Go ahead, Caitlin.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't call it gaslighting. Maybe it's more akin to mansplaining here, right? That, like, right. She says she understands him, and he's like, there's no way you can possibly understand me, you know? Right. But I also wanted to point out when he says, I'm not just a number here, you're literally a number there. Right? That's how the show works. And
yeah.
You're a fan of the show. You know exactly how this works. So, you know, like, he makes a big deal out of her saying, you know, he's the front runner. He's the number one. He's getting a rose. And it was like, that kind of validation should mean something to you if you follow the show, because you know that means she wants you to be the winner, right? Like,
but instead
he's playing it as like, but maybe I could be number two tomorrow if you change your mind. And it's like, no, that's not how this works.
See, but that's where the, like, he doesn't have a clear out strategy comes in for me. Because if he did, he would stick to a grand narrative. But he uses that when she gives him, like, again, she did not say it in a horrible way, but he used it to another out to make sure he can, like, double down on his outs, right? Oh, if I don't play that card, if she resolves that card somehow, I'll use this card. So there's too many twists and turns for me to say that it's strict gaslighting, especially with gaslighting. Okay, so like I said, like, the classical definition is a man having power and wanting to get power. In this case, I feel because he's fearful and because he's vindictive, but also kind of a less powerful player, that, and he's not exactly changing her, like, material reality. He's
right.
Talking about a conversation.
Right.
I don't think it's that. And I think there's a lot more layers here. And that is my problem with people just using terms. I mean, it's impactful to use because you can say men are this way, and here's a good example of how men are. But to say it's gaslighting kind of dilutes it.
Like she had said, what are you talking about? We didn't have rain on the Seattle date. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Well, so that it kind of – it can get there, right?
Right.
You use it slowly, and you use it for them to rely on you. I don't think he was using it for that reason. There's, it's like, is it a distinction without a difference? Like, I'm not sure, but it bothers me when it's used incorrectly, because then everything, you know, everything's blah blah blah. Porn.
No, I think your point
that rape.
I think your point about that, you know, his position of power and his want and need to have power and have, you know, to what extent that's a factor needs to be involved in whether or not this is gaslighting. And I think that makes a lot of sense.
And the power thing is only relevant if you're going to stick around.
Right.
You wanted to leave. So, like, I think that when, you know, maybe it's like, it's too picky of me, but it bothers me because it's a powerful term and we need to use it correctly. Okay.
Right.
So I said something to you, Craig, like, all along, well, to both of you, but I said it to Craig, and Craig kept telling me, no.
I was gaslighting you.
No, you weren't. You were disagreeing with me. You were literally just disagreeing with me, which is fine. I felt like this is a Becca Kufrin season.
It's funny, real quick, about Becca Kufrin.
Uh-huh.
She's on Bachelor in Paradise. She's going to be on Bachelor in Paradise, which starts August 16th. Which kind of makes me think about Greg. He could have stayed with this one, stayed with her for, you know, the requisite 3 months, broken up with her, and still gone on Bachelor in Paradise the next season, because Becca Kufrin's doing it essentially with a, you know, a little bit more time in between.
Hooked up with Becca Kufrin, and I don't
No, but he still could have ended up on Bachelor in Paradise.
I don't think that's what he wants. Endgame. He wants the big. I think he wants something big. I don't even think he wants to be a social media person. I think he wants something big. I don't know what.
He should have won then. I mean, what better?
No, because it's he thought he would look good. He thought he had it figured out. Like I said, he's not that smart. Like, he's not smart enough to figure it out well.
Well, anyway, what was your Becca Kufrin?
Oh, well, I was just saying that I just think that no one really liked her.
Right.
Like, all along.
And that's what you think of Katie.
I'm talking about Katie. Not long time ago. I liked Becca season because I thought she was more realistic about who she is and less ego stroking. Like, Katie wants everyone, you know, everyone. She wants to. She's an egomaniac. She wants everyone to like her and love her and stuff. And no one. Becca, what I liked about her is that she zeroed in on the guy she liked, and that was it. And she did have two guys that liked her. Like, I think. What's his name? Very famous. I think his name is Ben, but it's not Ben, right? Really liked her. The guy from Paradise that hooked up at Stagecoach. What's his
name? Blake? Oh, Blake.
Oh, another Blake. Okay. He looks like...
Blakes are... I was joking about this with, you know, our podcast super fan, Jocelyn, but I was saying that watching the Bachelor franchise shows has really taught me that I can never trust men named Blake or Garrett.
Yeah.
Garen? Who's Garen? Who's Garrett?
There was a Garen on this show, though. Oh.
Didn't Garrett win Becca's season?
Right, but he's trustworthy, right?
No, he's fine. Garrett, like G-A-R-R-E-T-T. There's too many bad Garretts.
Oh, really? I guess I do know the few Garretts I know are pretty bad.
Wasn't the winner of Becca's season Garrett?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, but he... treated her well, right? That's why I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I'm confused.
Yeah, but he was like a racist. That's why.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Yeah. But in terms of boyfriend material, they were great. I'm not saying for me. I'm saying for her. Okay. Okay. So now, the gaslighting thing is different. But okay, now, Craig, since you didn't agree with us. Now what?
What about Katie?
About Greg.
What about Greg?
Well, what we've been saying, you're saying you can turn on a dime and you can get mad. And we're saying, no, finally, you know. Well, okay, the points are that.
No, I think
you're going to like her.
If we're resetting, I think, I think I'm coming around to your and Caitlin's theory here. I think he didn't. I think it could be the case that he didn't really like her at all, wanted a way out, came up with this exit plan kind of as it developed. And when he didn't get external validation from Katie, he went nuts and started yelling at her for no reason. And then, I think that could very well be the case.
Oh, okay.
Another piece of evidence in this chain is that he has been dropping hints since like probably week two that, you know, he's so uncomfortable with all these other men around that, you know, he needs all of this validation all the time because he just, you know, he's so jealous. He can't handle this kind of situation. He feels like he can't share or whatever. He's been making comments like that basically this entire season, which I think was sort of his, you know, his breadcrumbs that he was dropping to prepare for, like, I'm leaving because I can't handle that you're in love with more than one person.
Right. All right, play the song.
All right. This is for you, Greg.
She's in it for the wrong reasons. Social media influencer. She's in it for the wrong reasons.
And yeah, well, it's actually, I think like it was harsher than that, right? I think his plans are grander than just a social media influencer, but that might be where he falls because he's not good at things.
Yeah.
He could be like a Hallmark Channel actor. I could see that.
Yeah, that's I can totally see him being the hometown guy.
No. You're comparing him to the husband of Brooke Burke. The husband of Brooke Burke is a 10. Greg, not a 10.
Okay, Craig. I'm just sad.
I'm being objective here.
I'm telling you what I think and what I've thought, and
I'm gaslighting you.
No, but I'm telling you just what I think. Okay, I guess to round this out, I'm sad that Greg robbed Katie of the fantasy suite. I might not like her very much, and I might not think that she, like, you know, deserves all the praise she wants to get. But if you are on The Bachelor and you have a chance to talk more to, you know, living rooms of mother-daughter teams watching this together, you might as well make it to fantasy suites. That's the sucky part. And he...
Do you have the clip?
He robbed her of... She wanted to bone him. And frankly, I feel like she deserves it after this season to at least be able to bone 2 to 3 guys, right?
Yeah, at least she's still got Justin around, thankfully.
That's true. She's still got Justin there. And you know she's going to have sex with Blake, you have to assume. But also, was anyone else grossed out by Greg saying, you know, what happens next? I get the rose and we go to fantasy suites.
That's what I was just asking. Do you have that clip?
No, that was one of the hard relationship trauma things that I felt was very, like too cringe. Like it was too much. He went too far.
That's what I've been saying all along.
Well, right. But like we said, we talked about this already, but my other point there is that he did not want to go there. He did not want to have sex with someone he did not want to have sex with. It was really, I think it scared him.
I want stories here. I told a story about my dating life in San Francisco. I want to know a story about a guys that have done this to you. And where you're getting all this cringe from.
It's the, like, talking about... I mean, I think... I don't know if you guys have seen it, but I've seen a girlfriend, boyfriend, friends in front of me talk about, in a derogatory way, or accuse each other of something that has to do with sex. Right? And they never recover from that. Does that
I'm not following.
Ring true? Okay. I saw some friends had a couple friends. Friends that are a couple had a fight in front of me once, and they talked about, one of them talked about not having enough sex or something like that.
Oh, I see. Wait. So because of that conversation that your friends had, that's why you have trauma when you watch Greg?
Well, no, I think in the moment it brought up other things that I'm not thinking of immediately, but that's the first thing that came to my mind right now when you said, what does that remind you of? My last Greg clip was...
All I do know is right now that I deserve more than what I've been given on your side. I'm not happy here anymore. I'm done.
That's Hallmark level Greg.
No, it's not. Have you watched Hallmark movies?
Oh, yes.
Do you know the what the lead men characters look like?
Yeah. Like
those
Greg.
Are 10. I think
you're like in Greg. Denial here, because Greg is absolutely good looking enough to play like a Hallmark movie romantic lead.
No, no. He could maybe make it to that
they come home when, you know, they're living in the big city and she comes home to her town and he's the one that forgot about. That is him.
Yes, it's
he'd need a lot of contouring makeup
next door, or like it was her high school boyfriend and now she's taking time off of her big city law firm job and she came home and now they're reconnecting.
Okay, Caitlin, we need stories as to why you're triggered by Greg.
Well, one I already mentioned, which was that thing when she was like, oh, I can tell you're upset, talk to me about it. And he's like, not upset at all, I'm totally fine, you know? I've had that exact conversation with somebody I'm dating where I'm like, I know something's wrong because you're acting weird. But when I'm like, well, let's talk about it then, what's wrong? And they're just like, trying to pretend that it's all completely fine. And I'm like, this doesn't help anyone. Why don't you just say the thing that you like want to say instead of holding it in there for like another day, I guess.
Yeah, nothing's worse than knowing something's wrong and not getting the acknowledgement that something's wrong.
Yes, because it does make you like feel so bizarre that you're like, I clearly am aware, like you are acting different, but you're refusing to acknowledge that you're acting different. And yeah, that drove me crazy. So be like, listen, you just tell me then. So that one in particular, like really sort of triggered me. That was the moment where I was like, oh God, I'm having flashbacks to my last serious relationship when that is how he would deal with like being in a bad mood or something. Mm. And I'd be like, yeah, you're being really quiet. What's going on? I'd be like, I'm not quiet at all.
Yeah, you
are doing that. So that, yeah, that one stood out in particular for me. But I'm also thinking about the clip that you played a moment ago, UZR, where he said he deserved more. That felt like to me a line that he practiced in the mirror before he went over there to be like, you know, this is my moment. I deserved more than what you're giving me. I'm the good guy in this situation. You're the bad guy.
And saying I'm not happy, that's like woke speak. You know, I'm not happy here. Well, it's, you know, everyone has a right to be happy, so we should all be on Greg's side. That's kind of what I took from that.
He had a, a way to rationalize it when he left, because I just think he let himself go in that moment when he should have been composed. And I guess ultimately Jed is more evil, but that's only because Greg is dumber. Like, I don't think that's fair, you know, like he would have been more evil if he could have been.
I mean, I guess we'll jury's out until we know if Greg has had a secret girlfriend this whole time too.
Right.
That case.
Well, like I said, I think the point of him doing this, maybe not the ultimate point, but one of the points is to get the top tier, whatever girlfriend. And I don't think he would have had a secret girlfriend only because he's trying to go for whatever he sees the bachelor men get. Yeah, like
Tyler Cameron.
Tyler Cameron. Okay. Yeah, we were talking about, you know, even someone like Wells Adams, who's dating like the girl from Modern Family or whatever.
Well-known actress.
Right. I think that's what he's going for. And I think that's part of the plan. So career-wise, who knows?
Yeah. Okay, so what do you think? Okay, so let's compartmentalize everything we talked about and move on to a new compartment, which is, has he ruined it for himself forever and ever? Or will history look back on this and say that he was right, and girls are going to be attracted to him because he didn't ruin it?
I think it's a mixed bag, right?
Wait, say that again? You kind of broke up.
Oh, I was going to say it's a mixed bag because I think people, their perspectives on whether or not Greg would have been there for the right reasons could be varied. I have heard and seen some folks being like, Greg had good points. You know, like we did point out also that he had a point in how weird it was to tell someone you love them and have them be like, no response at all. So there's an open door there to a certain extent in which he doesn't come out looking like Jed came out looking from the very end of Hannah's season. It was like Jed's career as a person who is moving up in the world is completely dead because everyone hates him that had watched this show. Right.
Right.
I think Greg is a bit more of a mixed reaction in that some people are very strongly like, this guy sucks. He's an absolute liar. He was acting this whole time. Other people are maybe believing what he's selling. So he might have a shot. I just don't think it's as strong of a shot as he could have had if he'd played this better.
I totally don't think he has. I think anyone who like thinks, oh, you know what, it turns out this way or whatever, kind of wants to excuse his behavior based on his looks. I think that what happens is that so many years pass by that he doesn't become, oh, Greg the liar from The Bachelor, from that Bachelorette where he broke that girl's heart. He just becomes Greg from The Bachelorette. And then it just washes all over people. People stop caring or he reinvents himself in a tiny way and on something. And then he is absolved. And I think, I have to come back to this, Craig, is that his looks, and not just his looks, because let's just say he was like Brad Pitt. That kind of look.
Who's a 10, by the way.
Okay. That kind of look, though, is not, there's different kinds of 10s. Wouldn't be as forgiven as
you just slipped that in there that there's different kinds of 10s.
Well, because that kind of Greg's kind of 10 look is very puppy dog, is very like, oh, forgive me, please. You know, so I think that he is way more absolvable based on just people's wash of popular media, especially on a show like The Bachelor, where villains are, you know, and you can always make a case that. You can always make a case that they gave you a weird cut and that's not how it really was supposed to go and that you wish them the best and you wish it had turned out differently. And it always happens that this guy, like so many guys and so many women too, you know, did not do a good thing. But he, if he wants to and he works at it, he will get absolved. Like I would not be surprised, but I'm not sure because of the pandemic, that Jed is doing way better musically than he was before The Bachelorette.
You think he's doing better musically?
Yes.
Okay.
But I can't tell you for sure because I think the COVID throws a wrench into things in terms of like.
See, the thing that makes me curious is like, to what extent do people. Because, you know, part of the reason a show like The Bachelor is so successful is that people. They put themselves in place of the lead. They identify with the lead. So a woman who lives in Nebraska, who's, you know, 20 something and looking, wanting a better life than living in Nebraska, I guess, I don't know, looks at Katie and is like, oh, I identify with her. I look like her. I have the same emotions as her and I could be her and I want to be her, you know? And then, so to those kind of people, Greg is always going to be that asshole that yelled at her. Right?
But,
like, so,
but eventually,
like, he could be at,
you forget.
He could be at a bar. He could be at a bar and then, like, hitting on some girl. And the girl's going to be like, oh, no, look, I identified with Katie and you yelled at her for no reason.
Yeah, but when there's
I don't think that sting, I don't think, goes away. Like, with Jed, it all happened off screen. Right? Mm-hmm. Where he had chicks over at his pool like the day after he got back from the
thanks, look Leo. look at Courtney Robinson and look at there's so many people that have been legit villains villains from day one till the end of their run and are famous or popular in their own right because they were on The Bachelor and because it was so long ago that they were the villain.
But I think what I'm saying, and I'm this is not a fully formed thought, so don't hold me to it, but I think I'm saying that what Greg did to Katie, well, like the extent that he lashed out at her, is worse than being a villain. Like Chad the villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has a great career now.
Yeah, that because what he did really wasn't bad. It was like laughable.
He Greg was intimidating did. To JoJo though. See, you forgot what he did. Chad was an intimidating guy on purpose, like to be almost physical. I don't know if you remember. He might have yelled at Chris Harrison and all this other stuff too. But he was also there's lots
yeah,
of
yeah, I guess. No, you're right. You're right.
I just think that, yeah, you just kind of like, you know, as you have this long sentence that follows you, but as time goes on, and I think all the villains know this, and I think the producers talk them into this, you just become that guy from that season. You are no longer like the asshole that did this to this person forever. You know, you just are like one, you know, okay, part of the mesh.
So. So you, me, and Caitlin, in a universe where you're single, you, me, and Caitlin are hanging out at a bar in L.A., and in comes Greg. And Greg sees you from across the room, and he starts walking in our direction. He's going to hit on you.
See? Look at me. I don't care. He is so cute.
You're not gonna turn to Caitlin and be like, Caitlin, he yelled at Katie. So
I don't care about that. We just broke down why I thought he was not.
So Caitlin, you're telling me you wouldn't
my
pull,
problem was that it wasn't genuine.
ECR aside and be like, no, you're not talking to him. He's a scumbag.
I mean, I probably would say something to ECR to be like, hey, remember when he was on TV and he was like a phony liar?
And EZR wouldn't care.
Well, here's the deal, though. He did that. So here's how I would rationalize that, which I would. He only did that to Katie because he wanted to get out of an engagement on TV. Right. If he's doing it to me in a bar with no cameras, that means it's genuine.
All right.
So yes, splitting hairs for this 10. But you know what? Whatever.
So I want to circle back to one thing quickly because it reminded me of a theme that we've seen on many of the most recent seasons of The Bachelor and Bachelorette, which is one of the things that Greg said to Katie in the hotel room conversation when he was getting like very heated is that he told her that she filled the hole in his heart that has been there since his dad died. She's a dad replacement for Greg, is what he's putting out there, right? And it immediately rung that bell in my head that was like, oh, the dad issues thing is like, Matt James, dad issues. Claire, dad issues.
Right.
That like, this is a common theme on these shows, is that somebody has a major issue with, I guess, particularly dads, even more so in the most recent seasons. Not a lot of mom issues, a lot of dad issues.
That's
helpful to me for a couple of reasons. One, that it's a pattern that we see a lot, but also that's an incredibly bonkers thing to say to somebody, right? To be like, you're replacing the love I lost when my father died is a no. Yeah. That's the kind of thing where you're like, you need so much more therapy before you could consider seriously dating someone. If one of your thoughts is that, like, you make me happy in a way that only my dad could.
Yeah. So to your point, the Rose Pricks podcast this morning posited a theory that Katie really liked Greg all the way through. And Greg actually really likes Katie. But once he said that whole thing about, oh, you're replacing my dad and laying all this stuff on her, that's when she got spooked out. And that's why she doubled back and did not say I love you to him and just kind of got quiet, is because she decided right then and there, like, whoa, I need to put the brakes on this guy because he's like way too heavy.
No, that's crazy. They are like, they just do back bends to make something make sense. That makes no sense.
No, it was just a theory they put out.
Okay, well, I mean, I can put out just like whatever, maybe under those vampires.
But Caitlin just said, how heavy it was.
She's talking about something else. She's talking about how like daddy issues have been recurring
in
all the
And all I'm saying is that there was a theory put out that Katie got spooked by him saying that.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm saying that every time you bring their theories in, I'm always like rolling my eyes.
You're totally gaslighting me, making me seem like I didn't hear that theory.
Why do you keep bringing that up? Okay. Oh, well, Caitlin, to your point, because I'm going to ignore all that. I think a big...
It's like I don't exist. What's that called?
Gaslight. a big thing that always comes up, other than parent issues, because a lot of these people are like, in the Bachelor contestant world, are basically at their parents' homes. I mean, you take home to meet the parents... So old-fashioned, right? Until they're like 27. But another one that they rarely talk about is, but it's always a point, is that they have these huge, impactful breakups that are not like wives, but are were going to be the wife. And they, almost like a college boyfriend situation, you know, the one you don't marry or the person that you're first crazy about. I had a friend tell me once, something that I had, I mean, like I said, it's just, it has to do with me being so naive more than anything when it comes to sex and girlfriends and boyfriends. But we had a mutual friend get married a long time ago, like 10 or 15 years ago. And she said to me, like around their wedding, oh, she's making the classic mistake of marrying the first guy you're totally in love with. And I was like, it shocked the hell out of me. I was like, that's a mistake? So, like, that's always been in my head, though, because now I look at people and I'm like, who's the first person you care about? Like, is that, you're not supposed to marry that person. Okay, now I know, you know, whatever. But this is, they will break up with that first person and then they'll go on The Bachelor. And that's another, like, hole they're trying to fill.
No, that I agree with.
Yeah, that makes sense because there were a lot of stories. I would say not as much in this season that we had heard, but in previous ones for sure. You know, like on Tayshia's season when Brendan left because it was like he's not over his divorce, like that kind of stuff, right? I feel like that comes up a lot or it'll be like there was a major breakup semi-recently and they are doing this to be like, I'm changing something up in my life, I'm applying to reality TV, let's see how this, like,
well, I'm running story.
Over my problems because I'm changing them by going on TV.
That's exactly what Tayshia did. Tayshia said she did. I mean, a lot of them do that. And I think that's just as, I mean, it's not just as unhealthy because I don't know how impactful it is to them, but I feel like that's always my recurring theme is why are you on here? And if that's a reason, it could be like a revenge thing or it could be a, I'm trying to forget this horrible thing, but I'm going to do it. It always is, I guess, like, I'm coming around to ex-co-host Chris's theory that if you go on, have an ulterior motive or else you are completely bonkers.
Right.
Because you go on after a heavy breakup and, you know, yeah, maybe you'll get a career forever, but at what cost? Like, at what soul-selling cost?
I would make that trade.
Yes, you would.
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. And with that, I say we end the podcast. We have done a big treatment on Greg and Katie. I think we are going to end up being wrong, Caitlin. I think either you or me said something like they're going to be in the fantasy suites next week, but I don't think any fantasy suites are going to be happening.
I think that's a good point. I was actually curious about y'all's opinions on, like, what do you think happens with Katie from here? Because the close of this episode is basically her saying, you know, like she cannot imagine any possible way forward in this journey. And then they show some of the preview stuff is like a voiceover from Blake at one point that says something like, well, if she's still hung up on Greg, then like, what's the point of being here? You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And her two people are Blake, who she must know is not for her and Justin, who she has no chemistry with. So there's got to be a point where they just wrap this up.
Wait, Craig. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you guys, I mean, next week is the last week. So
yeah,
it doesn't, I mean, she's like, can you imagine having sexy time when you're just like, the one person I love is gone forever.
Yeah, she's just exactly. Like crying.
She's like lost at sea. She's just not going to want to go in a fantasy.
Yeah, well, imagine being a guy in that fantasy suite. That'd be awful.
What are you talking about? They just turn their brains off. They're like, fine.
No,
fine.
Believe it or not, guys.
No, I don't believe
guys
it.
Guys have feelings too, you know.
Anyway, Craig, by the end of this, next week, last episode, I don't know what that means. I'm sure there'll be a whatever after the final rose.
Yeah, it's 3 hours long next week.
Dear Lord. Okay. I want you to concede. I'm not going to say gaslight because I'm sick of overusing that term. That no one really liked her and that it was a Becca conference season.
I'm not against that idea.
You were. I could clip it out.
Okay. I probably would.
Okay.
Okay.
I think this is my hunch, and I might be totally wrong. What I think is going to happen is she's going to try to chase after Greg a la Cassie, where he's like, I simply will not let you go. You know what I mean? Whoa. Because she doesn't say to Caitlin, she thinks that Greg is fully gone forever. But I feel like the only answers at this point for how it could end are, it ends without Katie being with anyone, and she doesn't get to have the fantasy suites that she's been looking forward to for so long. And right. She's just, it's like the saddest ending ever. Or the producers encourage her to literally chase after Greg and try to convince him to come back, in which case maybe he does do like Cassie and for a period of time.
Holy shit, Caitlin. That would blow my mind. If that,
if Greg came back?
Yeah, if he was on a jet ski and she chased after him in a water taxi and like get, you know, this sounds dramatic, but like 80s dramatic, because but I can't, if that were Caitlin, if that happens, I guess my only point of reference here is if we all go back and listen to how blown away and sad and kind of disjointed and dystopian-y we all, me, Craig, and ex-co-host Chris felt after the Cassie Colton reunion. That was just what, you know, like it was wrong and what and how, but also in this case, like, no. Okay. Anyways, I would be blown out of the water if that happened, Caitlin. I'm very excited for your prediction to come true.
All right.
If that's the producers try to make happen, then I think I should be hired for this show to try to like force these storylines.
Yeah.
Jet skis and water taxis. Okay. Okay, Craig. Okay, bye.
Wait, what?
Oh,
what did I do?
You're giving us the roll it, wrap it up.
Oh.
Yeah.
With your face. I didn't realize I was doing that.
And your mouth. And your size.
Yeah, no. You always do it, Craig.
No.
You're doing the Oscar playoff.
Well, I've been standing for an hour and a half straight, so.
Oh, my gosh.
My back is hurting.
This before, but
we are going to invest.
No one's
going to
last an hour and a half.
Ergonomic chair.
I need a chair.
I saw a lazy boy on the corner with no fluff and a raccoon. Okay, Craig. Okay, bye.
All right. We'll see you next week. Follow us on social media. @ Bachelor Masters, give us a review on the Apple Podcast app, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.